Good morning to all. Restoration. When I say restoration, what quickly comes to mind? Well, typically what would come to mind maybe is that antique chair that needs an extra coat of varnish or needs to be sanded down and made to shine again, or that table, that antique table from grandmother, or maybe from an unknown person that you picked up at a swap meet. It could also be fixing up the home. It could be Rick's Restoration on Discovery Channel. Many are occupied in restoration. In fact, I have a good friend, Bill, who is heavily involved in restoring aircraft. And he would tell me how meticulous the sewing must be. My son, he's got a restoration project coming up. He's picking up a 240SX, and he says, "Dad, we got to work on this." Yikes. Anyways, the one thing that is important about restoration is the attention to detail, the authenticity that goes into it. You know, you can't put a Buick part on a Ford, and vice versa. It's also the author's design, right? It was designed a certain way, it needs to meet it. Anyways, we'll get back to this a little later. Let's return to our series on Timothy. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to go through verses 14 to 26 today. And I've entitled it The Gentle Persuader. And I guess we'll see that as we go through it. Now, Timothy, when we think of Timothy, we think of timid Timothy. And so far in this series, the last of Paul's letters, we have seen that he's been charged to be strong. Join in the suffering, as Paul did. Never be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord or of Paul. Imitate Paul, thus imitating the Lord Jesus Christ. Be strong in the grace that is in Jesus. Entrust what he heard and witnessed of Paul to other faithful teachers. Now that brings, and we won't go into it today, there is another portion of scripture that is dear to my heart, which is the last will and testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's chapters 13, 14, 15 on in the book of John. And it's a great, great study. But anyways, I digress. Today we will continue on with Paul's last will and testament to Timothy. And this is the outline that we'll look at. We'll look at Christ's servant, his mission, our standing, our diligence, honorable vessels, either fine china or paper plates, cleansed, honorable, and then the gentle persuader, the attitude, the approach, the achievement or motivation. We will look quickly at Paul's charge in these three parts. So Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 to 19, our first section. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with the inscription, "The Lord knows those who are his." And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. So So let's take a look at Christ's servant and his mission. Verses 2 and 14, he must entrust, he must remind, and he must warn. As Christ's servant and Paul's protege, Timothy is to entrust all he has seen and heard to able, faithful teachers, so that they can do likewise. Able, that they have received the gift, in Ephesians 4:11. He has given some as pastors and teachers. As faithful, following Christ, enduring faithfully, not wishy-washy. Teachers, someone who themselves has a teachable spirit and desires to share as he and she has been taught. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. But just as we, which was Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we declare it not to please people, but God. So he is to entrust what he has learned. This Timothy, who has been at the side of Paul for many and many a time. Not only supposed to entrust this to others who are able teachers, and that's all our job. As we come in contact with others, is to share with others how we've been taught. And it could be from the simplest days. Remember when we first accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart, how we were overflowing with love. And that burden had been lifted. How we wanted to declare what had happened in our lives with everybody we came in contact with. So Timothy had to find, had to look at those who were able, who were faithful, and could share with others. But part of it, he had part of his doing that was to remind them over and over of all that he had seen and all that he had heard. Reminding them of their firm foundation, as we just sang. 2 Timothy 2:19, the foundation of God standeth sure, and having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Ephesians 2:20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Ephesians 4:14, and are built upon the foundation, 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceit. Repetition was required as they had little written word to consult with, unlike us today, who carry not only the Bible, but maybe many versions, and commentaries on our phones. We have it with us at all time. They didn't. They had to be reminded over and over, just as we have to dig in over and over, and therefore we dig deeper and deeper and deeper into the truth. Timothy was to remind those able, faithful teachers over and over. I get this wonderful picture how a cow, how wonderfully made it is, it eats the grass. It goes aside and it chews it and re-chews it and re-chews it. It's like meditating on the Word of God. And out comes the precious milk that others are to feed on. Not only is he to entrust, to remind them over and over again, he's to warn them before God. Warn them about quarreling over words, about godless chatter. Titus 3:9, Avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, quarrels, fights about the law. They are empty and useless. Before God, that is in His name and from His word, we warn them about quarreling and godless chatter. It ruins those who listen. They become more and more ungodly. Our role? We are to edify, build up, not tear down. Romans 4:19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify one another. Again, his mission was to entrust, remind, and warn. Our standing is approved and unashamed. In 2 Timothy 2:15, we have the word study to show thyself approved unto God. Study means be diligent, make every effort, dig in, understand, spend time, and be proved genuine. 2 Corinthians 2:17. For we do not, as many, make a trade of the word of God, but as of God, before God, we speak in Christ. Many are counterfeit. False teachers are careless handlers of the word, using it to satisfy their arguments. Whereas the approved teacher conforms to the word, lives it, shares it, revealing it to others so that they will be transformed also. As Timothy listened to and watched Paul live out Christ, so now he is to do the same and entrust it to the others. 2 Corinthians 10:12. We would not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who recommend themselves. 2 Corinthians 10:18. For it is not the person who commends himself who is approved, but the person the Lord commends. So they needed to be diligent. They needed to be genuine. They needed to be conforming to the word. They needed to live it. They needed to share it. So others are edified. So others are transformed. But also, that they would be unashamed. 2 Timothy 2:15, again, study a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Make every effort so that you're a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I, which is Paul speaking, also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Philippians 1:20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, and that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Others are edified when we live and share the gospel of Christ. If we live and we share the gospel of Christ, we will not be ashamed. Continuing on with 2 Timothy 2:15, again, study or make every effort to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, by rightly divining the word of truth. to rightly divine the word of truth, we have to study. We have to be in the word. It's not just a matter of memorizing the Roman road, a bunch of verses, and saying, I've got it, I can go out, I can be an evangelist. It's knowing the word of God, understanding the word of God, listening to the Comforter as he teaches us the word, applying that word to our lives, living it out. But we need, Timothy needed to study. He had to study right, never out of context, remembering that Scripture always confirms Scripture. All is God-breathed. You cannot slice and dice the Word of God. It is what it is. You may not like what it says, but it is what it is. And it is all God-breathed. Timothy had access to Old Testament scrolls and many of Paul's letters, 2 Corinthians, Ephesians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Timothy, of course, Philemon, maybe perhaps some more. But he didn't have the wealth that you and I have today. He did have Paul as an example. But we too have many a good example around us, brothers and sisters, that can help us. But we need to be in the Word. He witnessed firsthand how Paul, led by the Spirit of God, endued with the mind of Christ, preached the gospel unashamedly to all who would hear. A studied person will see the errors being spewed by others, like Hymenaeus and Philetus and Alexander, whose aim was to divide. It was desires and not Scripture that was their foundation. They will argue over words. They will use worldly reasonings, worldly rationalizations, philosophies, all in the aim to divide, because they are right. But there is something in the word that they have rejected, and all they want is your support to continue with that faulty mindset. In this scripture today, we have, again, Hymenaeus and Philetus written in, saying that the resurrection is past already. And Dr. Kimoff, some will say, so what? Right? I'm sorry we have to repeat, but it's such a great line. So what? It is not known in what form they held this opinion. It may have been, as Augustine supposes, that they taught that there was no resurrection, but that which occurs in the soul when it is recovered from the death of sin and made to live anew. Or it may be that they held that those who had died had experienced all the resurrection which they ever would by passing into another state and receiving at death a spiritual body fitted to their mode of being in the heavenly world. Whatever was the form of the opinion, the apostle regarded it as a most dangerous error. And for just views of the resurrection undoubtedly lie at the foundation of correct apprehension of Christian system, writes Barnes. I can't write like that. 1 Corinthians 15:12. Now, if Christ is being preached as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection of the dead? As he witnessed, Acts 1:9. After he had said this, while they were watching, he was lifted up and a cloud hid him from their sight. The apostle. The 11 witnessed Christ's resurrection. The promise, Acts 1:11. This same Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come back in the same way that you saw him go into heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, then we who are alive and who are left will be suddenly caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So what? Well, if you don't believe in the rapture, the imminent return for us is not expected or lived out, then we will tend to abuse the grace given us and we'll pull others along with us. The decisions we make, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, if we don't believe that Christ could come for us at any moment, we may be ashamed of what we're doing when the trump does blow. That's why, that's one reason why it is so important to believe as the scripture lays it out. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the message, be ready whether it is convenient or not. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and instruction. Jude 4, for the certain men have secretly slipped in among you, men who have long ago marked out for their condemnation. I'm about to describe ungodly men who have turned the grace of God into a license for evil and who deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Jude 19. These people are divisive, worldly, devoid of the Spirit. We have many today who do the same. Some who come knocking Saturday mornings. Some who say they are Christian but reject that Christ. But reject that Christ was also and always God. Many more are found in the church who will twist the scriptures to suit their arguments. Beware. Be prepared. How do you know if a dollar bill is legitimate and not counterfeit? You study the original. We need to handle the truth correctly. 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Honorable vessels. Well, what's the difference between fine china and a paper plate? China is fit for royalty. Royal Dalton, or whatever you call it. The ladies know about it. Guys are happy with paper plates. It's functional. I can get my sandwich to the other room. But it's fit for limited use. Paul writes to Timothy, gold and silver for special use. So those would be those with a heart committed to Christ. Wood and clay for common use. Those who struggle with their faith commitment. Pray when in need or in crisis. Do not consistently read and study the word, never share the gospel unless they have to. Popularity with the world and friends is more important. Now it's true a wooden vessel can be gilded with gold, right? But I think this is where Paul was pushing the thought process at that time. In John, 1 John 2:15-16, John writes, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh and the desire of the eyes and the arrogance produced by material possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. So, fine china, paper plates, gold, silver, or wooden clay. Well, either way, they had to be cleansed vessels to be an honorable vessel. And so those who cleansed themselves, verse 14, would wrangle not over words, because it ruins those who listen. Verse 16, they would avoid profane chatter because it leads to ungodly behavior. Verse 19, turn away from evil because it produces ungodliness. Verse 22, flee youthful passions. Verse 23, reject foolish and ignorant controversies. They breed infighting and division. Verse 24, don't engage in heated disputes, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace out of a pure heart. Verse 22. To be an honorable vessel, made holy and useful to the master and prepared to do any good work. To be a vessel of honor is to be righteous, to seek righteousness, faith, love, and peace out of a pure heart. Second Timothy 22-26, our last section. Paul writes to Timothy, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with the foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. So, Timothy is to be the gentle persuader. We've all had some ungentle persuaders in our past. But he was taught to be a gentle persuader. So, as a gentle persuader, he had to have a certain attitude, a certain approach, and an achievement or motive. Our attitude, verse 24, again, not quarrelsome, but kind to all. Sometimes it's difficult. The life of following Christ is not undifficult. If he had to suffer, so likewise we must suffer. Not quarrelsome, but kind. Compassion, as the Lord Jesus had compassion. Able to teach, share. A lot of you will say, I'm not a teacher. But we're all called to share. Share what you read in your devotion this morning with somebody. Share. One or two words, share. When you're at the office this week and they say, what'd you do on the weekend? Well, I was at church. Matt, you'd get a lot of conversation from that statement there, I tell you. Especially here in Quebec. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly divining the truth. Titus 1:9. He must be devoted to the trustworthy message that is in agreement with our teaching, so that he may be able to encourage others with healthy doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Not resentful. He has to be patient, willing to endure, as our Lord Jesus did for us. 1 Peter 2:23, when he was maligned, he did not answer back. When he suffered, he threatened no retaliation, but committed himself to God who judges justly. Our approach, verse 25, gently instruct in hope. Pray and guide using the scriptures. The only true, trustworthy roadmap is the scriptures. Every commentary out there, and there are some fantastic, well-written commentaries, trustworthy commentaries, are commentaries of man. The scriptures
are the only place that we can fully rely. And if it's something that you can't agree on, our Comforter one day will send somebody or himself reveal that troublesome passage to us and where it fits. So pray and guide others through the scriptures. Why? The hope is that God will grant them repentance. Need to be patient. It's a long road for some. It's quick for many, but long for some. Speak gently, yet faithfully. Be compassionate, courteous, and strong. Our motive? Let the misled Christians come to their senses and see the scripture clearly. The misled ones that we have in our passage today are Hymenaeus and Philetus. That they would escape the devil's trap of lies and empty promises, that they would be restored. John 8:11, go and sin no more. When the young lady was at the well, a known sinner, he said, go and sin no more. Were Hymenaeus and Philetus restored this second time? We do not read. The first time we meet Hymenaeus, he was with Alexander in 1 Timothy. We don't read of Alexander anymore. So we could probably assume that Hymenaeus had been restored once. Would he be restored again? The Lord knows. But we do not read of Alexander. Where it said in 1 Timothy 1:20, they were handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. So, again, we are there to help restore. Whether it's a brother or sister has gone astray, or it's somebody who has never heard the gospel, we are there to share from the scripture. Luke 15, I'll close with this. Luke 15, we have the three parables. The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. All in common was their restoration. All in common was the joy in heaven over one repenting sinner. That's what we get to join in on, is to rejoice with every angel in heaven as one come back to the Lord, or comes to the Lord the first time. That's our goal.